Peace, land, victory. I'll give you Sea Dragon Point and the Stony Shore, black earth and tall trees, and stones enough for every younger son to build a hall. We'll have the Northmen, too, as friends, to stand with us against the Iron Throne. Your choice is simple. Crown me for peace and victory, or crown my uncle for more war and more defeat. What will you have, Iron Men?
Welcome to the White Book Podcast, the original A Game of Thrones LCG podcast.
Originally founded in 2010 as Two Champs and a Chum, we decided to rebrand when the game relaunched in the second edition. A huge thank you goes out to Fantasy Flight Games and George R. R. Martin for this game and world we love, and of course to my co-hosts and you, the listeners. Please, if you enjoy the show, leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice, comment on our Facebook threads, or even better, support us on Patreon. We love turning that kind of support back into the community. This is Season 10 of the White Book Podcast.
What we'll have is the better lens on the podcast. That's right. We finally kicked Will off. He's bent.
Welcome to your new overlord.
There must always be a lens on the podcast.
Oh, crap. Like, he snuck in.
There must always be a lens on the white book.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but I'm the better one. I bake cookies.
Hey, I baked cookies this week.
Yeah, I bake better ones.
Yeah.
That's true.
Oof. Cruel. Wow, behind the marriage, the lenses.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, before that gets any more acrimonious than it already did, this is the White Book episode 359, and we've got a lot on tap for you tonight. So we're going to go ahead and get rolling. I'm joined, of course, by my lovely wife, Kristen, and I'm going to intro everyone else as well: Roy, who you already heard; Aaron and Jesse, who is yet to. But I assure you, he's still here.
Oh, yeah.
Jesse, are you the best worst player in Wassa now, or the worst best player?
I'm for sure the worst. Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm the worst. I'm the worst. I might be better than Peters.
Might be. You're better than Peters.
I don't know. The Greyjoy box is coming out. That's all that scrub will play. So, but they're on the artifact grind, so I might be able to get one leg up on them.
Oh man, let's do a giveaway because my cat is eyeing me and might just suddenly attack.
Whoa! All right, we're gonna give that cat a treat, is what we're gonna do. But as well, we've got another set of those sweet ass house cards that graphical wizard Mike was kind enough to do up for us.
And wait, hang on. Is this the first episode where Will cusses first before anyone?
I had the same thought, and I was trying to be good.
Like, we're all behaving, and Will's like, these sweet-ass cards.
Whoa. Oh, wow.
I did not say
that. Wow. All right. Hello, Deep End.
We
13 feet deep, this
we
pool that we're swimming in. In honor of the Greyjoys, Jesse has blessed us with salt there.
Well, let's see if we can do the rock portion. You know, rock, diamond.
You know what?
I don't know. It's a stretch. But regardless, we're going to give out a set of those sweet White Book house cards to Zaid. So thanks for supporting us, man. Well done. All right, and now for the big time. This week, Greyjoy box, Kings of the Isles, starting off with the Greyjoy cards. Now, if you've listened to a review before, sorry you have to listen to this again. If not, we do this like the American grading system. So A cards are pretty awesome, and F cards are pretty trash. We have added a couple extra ratings. However, in the meantime, the S tier is so unbelievable, we don't know how it got printed. And the E tier is incredibly situational, possibly a sideboard or a pressure valve type of card. Everything else kind of falls on a spectrum. So, sound good?
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Who wants to lay that sweet, sweet first card on us?
I do.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Balon Greyjoy. He's a 7/5 loyal character. Military power icon. Ironborn and Lord traded. Pillage renown. Action. This card does whatever the fuck it wants.
That's not what it does.
Action. Kneel your faction card to choose a card in an opponent's discard pile and put it into play under your control. At the end of the phase, shuffle it into its owner's deck. And I'm pretty sure it's already been errated, but I don't know the errata word for word.
Oh, dang. I definitely should have gotten that in front of me. I forgot to do that.
It's definitely been errated before it's been printed.
Yeah, it's just basically it's a functional errata, though. It's not a like a play errata. So
right.
What Jesse read is basically what the card does. You kneel your faction card. You choose a card in an opponent's discard pile. You put it into play under your control. If the card is still in play, you shuffle it into the owner's deck at the end of the phase.
So yep. So Greyjoy gets Gast and Gray every turn, is what you're telling me.
Greyjoy gets whatever it wants every turn. If you play a card, they get it too.
Well, as long as it's in the discard pile.
Sure.
Right, but if they use Gast and Gray consistently, then...
They get it once and then shuffled, and you have to draw it and play it, but yes.
So you don't,
play Gast and Gray.
So you know it's important. Old Bill Bone is the best card in the game.
Is he?
He's up there.
Sure.
Yeah.
He's getting good. He's getting good.
The meta solver says forget your Balon, forget your Shadow Agenda, forget your Sea of Blood. Real Bill Bone.
Old Bill Bone is very good.
Shadow, yes. The faction card Neil is increasingly valuable in many factions. Although I think this is Greyjoy's first really good one since Seastone Chair, right?
Yeah.
Like this mono faction, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot of competition. So.
Oh yeah, this guy will see play, but he also takes two cards that, as a Martell player, I super hate out of Greyjoy decks. Because if you're running him, you're no longer running King Plot in Greyjoy, mm-hmm. and you're no longer running Barn Gates in Greyjoy.
Correct. So here's the other thing. This card's art is garbage.
What? How are we on worst art before we've talked about the functionality for like 40 seconds?
Because it's important, Glazer. Have you seen the art on this card?
I don't own cards. Why do I care? I mean, I own all the cards. So many cards.
Is very bad, but also this card is super.
I mean, it's
good.
Also sweet, like Facebook. Or Facebook, I think it's good grief. Fleabottom. I've just read FB too many times. Fleabottom tech. Anti Fleabottom. Anyway.
I mean,
I
artwork. Anything can be better than what is that other card that is very anime style in Greyjoy? Why am I?
Oh, I like
oh don't. Don't just hate on the Salt Cliff Sailor.
I will hate on it. It is the worst I've ever seen in Game of Thrones. I'm sorry, Jesse. I'm sorry.
It's so cool.
But it doesn't fit. It's so like out of theme from all the artwork of the rest.
She doesn't fit. She's just trying to make her own way. Help other people out. Nah, I actually do think this card is like very insanely strong. I think it'll be one of those cards that everyone fears, that I think everyone will be like, oh, this card needs to be restricted. And it does. For sure. This card is too strong, I believe. I don't believe it should have two keywords and should have this ability. Not sure why it does.
Yeah, that it has pillage is just extra dumb, right?
I don't think it should have two keywords. I mean, if it has an ability this strong, it should have no keywords.
Sure. But especially pillage. He should extra not freaking fuel himself.
Even if you jam this like turn one, like it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be very frustrating. Because it's literally just like the Euron play.
Yeah.
It's gonna rip a card off the top that's just gonna annoy you. The only balancing factor to it is that it shuffles into its opponent's deck.
Yeah.
Or its owner's deck.
Even that, does that really balance it?
You still get a lot of mileage before that.
Like,
it stops it from being absolutely broken.
If you wanted to balance it, it would be at the end of the phase, return it to its owner's control.
Yeah, there you go.
Nah. I don't like that as much.
Of course you don't. Ragejoy freaking degenerate. So this card
Aaron, I think that's a bold. I believe this isn't even in the top 10 of my favorite cards in this box. It doesn't have the correct trait.
I hate this box. And I give it an S. I hate it. Like, it gets an F for design because it's a fail design of pure luck. But it's an S level card.
Sure, I'll give you the RNG. I'll give it an S as well.
Yeah, I mean, it does always depend on your opponent's cards to do anything, but like, you're going to have some kind of target. If nothing else, you get a body for a challenge. So
even if you don't, you get a 7/5 with pillage with a possible target. I mean, that's worth and renown.
But I mean, like, his ability, like, worst case scenario, I guess, is they don't have any target, but most of the time their worst target is at least still a body to add to this. So, yeah. You know what? I'm gonna be different. I'm just gonna give him an A.
I like it.
We got two more.
Roy?
We might have...
Roy here?
Is Roy dead?
No, I'm here. No, I'm here.
Now we can.
Can you not hear me?
Okay.
No, I'm here. So I just want to say one couple quick things. It's important to remember that it's an action. So it's not... so you can do things like steal Arbor dupes or economy locations if you're going second. It just hits cards, right? I mean, I'm just double checking here. Yeah, it just hits cards.
Absolutely.
So you are correct. So it helps solve sometimes Greyjoy's economy issues. And people have been begging for anti flea bottom tech, and Balon just sort of hammers home that Greyjoy remains the best no fun punish your opponent for doing fun things in Game of Thrones second edition faction way more than Stark, which is nominally, that was one of their themes going back to their box. So I agree that he's S tier. But I want to, I guess the way to put this would be if Greyjoy gets more interesting uses of its faction card, Neil, this Balon does get worse over time.
Sure.
That's the main thing that holds it back. Right now, this Balon has no drawback. But if Greyjoy, because you don't want to run him in a Seastone Chair build, really.
No, that's obviously the other Balon, the core Balon.
Right, that's the other. That's either core or even the King Balon, right? Both of those synergize pretty well with
Jesse, tell him.
It's core,
sure. But like you, but I've played successful decks that run the King Balon that also have Seastone Chair.
Yeah.
But you don't run Seastone Chair with this guy, because you want, if you play this Balon, you want every turn to be triggering his action. So that is a balancing factor. But the problem was, of course, Danny didn't seed the card pool with other interesting Greyjoy and faction card Neil effects. So he comes S plus when he's released. He just sort of slams into the meta and says, put Milk of the Poppy in your deck, because I'm going to be driving every single deck crazy, because every single deck at least puts dupes, cards that discard into taxation, and just dupes, Scott, our co-host Scott's favorite cards in there. And you're just going to be stealing left and right. You're going to just be stealing left. You're going to be stealing left and sometimes right, all the time. So, Krista, what do you got to say though?
Rate it, Royce.
We can S. I said S.
He said S.
Remind me what S is.
Unbelievable.
It's like when you play the Final Fantasy game and your character goes beyond A. It's like S tier equipment or S tier level of materia and things like that.
It's like you hadn't played the game in a while and you sit down and then they set up his dar against you. You're like, busted. That card can do what every phase? Oh god.
Yeah. Then I would go with S tier then. A lot of what Roy said and what Jesse said are pretty much my thoughts on this of like he's just kind of bonkers in a really fun way and getting to steal things. Whether it be you know, certain events or attachments or whatever that can be used like right then and there, however, but mostly like sometimes the economy does kind of fail you and that's really helpful.
Do you want me to do Euron?
Yeah, but I need to make it. I think if when we do Euron, yeah. I think we need to scroll down and
I
do
think we have to.
Silence as well at the same time, right?
I can do that. All right, yeah. Sure.
Because I think that I think that goes into the direct rating of this card.
Okay, cool. So we'll just do Euron Crow's Eye. This is our, I believe, our second version of Euron. He's a 6-cost loyal, all 3 beautiful icons, red, green, and blue. 4 strength, Captain, Ironborn, Lord, Raider. Whew. Intimidate. Reaction. After you marshal Euron Crow's Eye, search your deck, hand, and discard pile for silence and put it into play. Shuffle your deck. And silence is a, I believe, loyal Greyjoy 4-cost location. Scroll. Here it is. Yes, loyal, 4-cost, unique Greyjoy location. Warship, challenges action. Kneel, silence, and put a warship location into play from your hand. Then, if you control Euron's Crow's Eye, stand him. +2 initiative.
Awesome.
Oof. So awesome. All right. Silence is an awesome card.
Mm-hmm.
Like
best turn one Lord of the Crossing card of all time.
Almost certainly. Like, it's
go ahead. This is the setup you want.
Heads on spikes, get on printed, whatever.
Good. I don't consider plots cards really, but sure.
Krista, what were you gonna say?
Sorry.
Oh, it's just like it'd be an awesome setup, and I mean if we're gonna speak to plots, like you know, depending on what warship
I don't think
that you have.
Set them up, right?
Well, I mean, not necessarily. No, not set up. That's not what I meant to say. But like, if you have, you know.
Oh, like T1.
Yeah. So, like, if you had that, and then the warship that lets you, you know, basically make your opponents go unopposed and get out a, you know, a 2. Why is my brain? I should not be having wine, apparently, but my brain is like,
raiding longship.
Yeah, like raiding longship, and then have a. Oh my gosh! Seriously, guys, you guys might have to fill in the dots for me. My brain is going.
Say what it is.
Stupid.
Raiding longship. I know some crap. And then the new one, Grey Ghost, the one that.
No, the plot.
Yeah, the extra power.
Rise of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
To where you can,
so, I believe post-haste, instead of Rise of the Kraken, you will be reading another plot in that place here in just about a couple hours.
But so, I think we can all agree. I'm sure people give their individual readings, but Silence is one of the stronger 4-cost locations. It has a lot of play. Just free warship locations, the initiative boost, particularly the game has been moving where initiative is way more important, probably more important than it's been in a long time. The stand on one of your most powerful characters, Euron Crow's Eye, is really good. I mean, the ability, sort of like Kristen said, like the sort of play pattern of initiate a challenge with Euron while you're in the action window after attackers are declared, kneeling this to put a raiding longship into play for free, standing your Euron so you get a second challenge with him, and then preventing opponent's character from defending is really strong. Like silence promotes really strong play patterns for Greyjoy. The question, but so I would say silence is an A card. I don't quite think it's S tier. I think it's A card. It's an A card. It's one of the best cards in the box. Easily Greyjoy wants this card. The question, though, to go back to what I initially read, is it worth giving up access to 7 cost Euron
with pillage
for
yep.
the pillage and his ability and his high strength and the renown worth it to get that on demand?
Yes, because Vic exists.
Because Vic exists. Okay. So
you either draw silence or you draw Euron. You wanna draw Euron. Yeah. If you can slam Euron turn one, get silence going, then like as soon as you draw Vic, you already have so many warships in play, it doesn't matter. And also remember, later in this box we're gonna have 6 0 cost warships.
Whew, boy.
Right? Like we have the Iron Fleet Scouts, and then we're gonna have another non-unique zero cost warship. I think this gets pretty dumb. And like as upsetting as I think, like I think this is just insane in crossing. Like if you can just jam a Euron turn one, like you set up 8 gold, you jam a Euron turn one, you get silence out, you get 2 challenges with a 6 strength. I mean you get 2 challenges with like a 6 cost tricon with intimidate. If you don't have an Iron Fleet Scout out, like then it's just even dumber. Like, I mean,
I don't think we're talking enough about the fact that like he's a tricon intimidate, which is pretty spicy. Throw in the chance at multiple challenges.
Intimidate is second
one in the game.
Yep.
What's the other tricon with intimidate?
Viper.
Oh, Viper. Oh.
Yeah, that one was helpful.
So this is the first playable
held back by other aspects, but I don't think that Viper's solid.
I don't agree. I think that's the best Viper, but whatever.
Yeah, they restricted the best Viper dog. I only took one Viper to Worlds. No, I think this card is very good. I give it an A+. I give Silence and A+. I think they're both really strong. I think Silence is more build around, but Euron is very good as well. I think in decks you run Silence, you run this Euron, and in decks you don't run Silence, you run the old Euron.
And I think this is the only new deck that comes in this box. Like, everything else in this box just goes into an already established deck. Like, this Euron and Silence is the only new deck.
So is there a current unopposed Greyjoy deck that's like tier 1? Because I think we get another unopposed Greyjoy deck with this.
So here's where I disagree with my colleagues here. I just think you take Mike Aruro's winning Red Saturday list, cut the 7 cost Eurons, put the 6 cost Eurons, find room for the silences, and then you just have a really good deck. Like, he's running warships. You just abuse Victarion.
You do that in the backs list, not in the wars. I think you do that in the rush of the wars.
I mean, I think you do it in both. Like, I think that this creates a strong warship package around 2 of the Greyjoy brothers.
You are correct, Roy. The boringness of Thrones players will never cease to amaze me.
That's not even just the boringness. Like, Magic players would do the same thing here. There's just a really strong...
Boring.
That's kind of the nature of LCG. Most decks wind up being iterative rather than, brand new.
So, I can't rate these separately, but I'm going to give them both a B+.
Ooh, spicy. B+. Spicy.
Wow.
I think they're really good, I think. And I like the idea of building a cool warship deck, even if that's not what most people are going to do.
I think it sounds fun.
I do have a rules question related to warships, since his wording is a little off to how I would do it. Since he makes you search and deck and discard pile, it's not like optional to search all three. Is it conceivable that there's a rules quirk that says you get a silence and both duplicates? Okay.
No.
But it doesn't specify like a copy of silence.
I think you can only.
And in my mind, if it was me and I for sure wanted one, I would have you only search one, like your choice of those places.
Yeah. It should say for a copy of silence, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure it not saying that.
I mean, I would think no.
Yeah. So
it says put it into play. Wouldn't it say put them into play or something like that were multiple?
Or put a copy of it into play.
Right. So it. I mean, I'm sure there will be some 78 comment long thread about whether you can search for all three copies of Silence that you have in your deck for the. But the, I would argue that the it argues for a single copy, and the fact that it's a unique items argues for it being a unique copy. So it's. It's an interesting effect in the sense that it's the first effect in the game that basically says no matter where silence is, you get to put it into play. And I don't think there's I don't think Danny and his proofreader like have templating for like that effect. And this is probably not very good templating, but I would say 99% of judges are going to rule that it's a That's single fair. Copy of silence that goes into play.
That's my guess. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, right. Kristen, you want to give us the next one?
Next card for Asha?
Yeah.
All right. So, Asha, unique, military in power, 6 cost, 5 strength. Keywords are captain, ironborn, and lady. She has pillage and stealth. And each other unique ironborn character you control gains stealth. So that's really fun that all your other unique characters would gain stealth, sneak past those challenges, and strength, not too bad. I love that she still has pillage, so that's always helpful. Pillage decks can be super fun. So I like her from what I see. She's not as exciting Great. As the others that we've read so far, but she's cool.
I think she's very good. It doesn't fit my play style, but I think it's a very good card.
I think she's really cool, but I think the other Asha's still Greyjoy's main source of draw, because thankfully they didn't get any more real like burst draw type things.
No, I mean, but we did last pack with Rhymes with Meek, which this card adds
but
to
like,
that.
You could use Asha, just get Rhymes with Meek and get more cards. The other Asha, right? Like,
I mean, sure.
I just think the other Asha is significantly better, not just because, like, A, stealth is great either way, and they're both going to have stealth. But, and this one has double stealth, I guess, right?
Yep.
Because stealth, then she gives herself stealth, so I don't
know. I don't know why it's weird.
That is that way, weird.
No, dude, but we definitely already played Silence in this game, and we definitely already dropped in Black
Wind. Yeah, I get it. But so that's cool and all, but like, I don't think Greyjoy can afford to give up that big intrigue icon as much as anything else.
Yeah, I think
even in this box, like that intrigue icon that has stealth is so important.
I definitely think Glazer has come around to why I think this is like a B minus card, because I think that there's a Greyjoy stealth deck that would want this Asha, but the question is I think that deck is outclassed by just a deck that runs the other busted cards that we've talked about, two of them, and we're three of them actually because we include Silence, and that wants either the action economy of the 5-cost Asha with the ability to stand, or it wants the card draw and the intrigue icon of the 7-cost one. So while this card is a good card, and I agree with Kristen that it's a cool effect, The fact that it has Asha Greyjoy attached to it is the problem. It's mediocre. Now, the fact it's not loyal, there could be there might be some like weird false banner like Barra Kraken stealth deck that runs like, all the non-loyal Barra.
Cotter Pike.
Or yeah, even, but like
even going like, into like my Tyrell Ladies deck, like if I were to have Tyrell and Greyjoy, because Tyrell has enough intrigue, and I mean that's a downside to this card to me is that it doesn't have intrigue. Greyjoy doesn't have enough intrigue, and so I always want to mix that with another house to have that. And so I think in that deck it could be fun because it's non-loyal, but in a Greyjoy deck she's just okay.
Yeah, I agree. So she's like a B minus card to me.
Yeah.
But if she was like I don't know, some other unique great the knight, you would be like, amazing card, play this card. But the fact that you have two other really good Ashas, two and a half really good Ashas, I guess with Escrid, but
You mean there's no Yara?
They get outclassed. She gets outclassed.
You know, I think you guys are overlooking one super important thing. With this Asha, you totally get a stealthy Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
But I think that goes to what I see as kind of the weakness here. She is.
The Ironborn?
She is.
Is Hell
yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah,
she's hey, also for that Night's Watch deck.
Oh man! There's your Night's Watch, Banner Kraken, Stewart's, Ironborn deck,
exactly.
Rat Cook deck. Woohoo! Spicy.
So every time in Wassa someone mentions Hell yeah, everyone in the entire shop just loses their fucking minds. Hell yeah! Just like it resounds right in the.
That's an interesting.
Wait! I didn't get to finish that.
Rate this card, guys.
I think that Hell yeah shows where I see the weakness.
All right,
Sasha, you're giving up at least one extremely good version in the 7 cost, and you're gaining kind of some awkwardness because there's not like
okay
the in melee is for sure. Cost. But like everything that's worthwhile to be giving that stealth to, right? She just gives it to your unique Ironborns. So everything else is like at the top end of the curve, and stealth is super powerful at the low to middle end of the curve. And there's just not anything really in there for Ironborns to use her with. So if that expands, I could go higher. But right now, I'm going B.
Yeah. I'm at a C plus.
Ooh.
I'm at a C.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. I think you guys are a little underrating her. She is, you're gonna see her somewhere.
So the game is so full of ambush and shadows that I'm a little less worried about her than I would have been before.
Oh.
Jesus.
Say goodbye to shadows in our next review episode, Glazer.
Yeah, we'll get there. All right. Yeah, maybe. All right.
Yeah.
Why don't you do the Knight, Glazer?
Sure. Knight, 5/5, mill power, unique, non-loyal, House Harlaw, and Knight. No attachments except weapon. While the Knight is attacking alone, he gains stealth and renown. So, I think he's about as good as Coronite of Flowers.
Yeah.
And Coronite of Flowers is a real
yeah. So one of an every deck
card.
Forever.
So exactly one of an every deck forever. He's the kind of card you go first and you plop down and you're just like, all right, go find an answer.
Yep, that's what I was thinking like, whenever I was reading about this card. Is it reminded me of Knight of Flowers?
He's phenomenal. He's actually probably too good for literally kind of a nothing character, but I think he's a B plus and truly. A worthwhile character. So that the Knight of Flowers should be better than the Knight because one of them actually matters in the lore.
So, Glazer, besides David Bamford, you are like king of the 1.0 elitists. You should love the Knight because the Knight was a busted card in
the Greyjoy decks I played in first edition didn't have characters.
Okay. But
I can get behind that.
But yeah, I agree with both Kristen and Glazer. This is probably a one of card until the game ends because it's evergreen. 5/5 is fantastic. Two icons. And I think the stealth is really like setting him up like a good five, like the game lacks actually for good five drops. And five drops are nope. Very, I think so, actually.
I think it's most important to slot the game.
It is, and that's one of the reasons why I think it sometimes lacks for good five drops. And
I mean,
yeah,
Greyjoy's best five drop is
Asher, stealth. So there we go. Yeah. But well, this is another good five drop to have, and I think setting up the Knight in the same way that like setting up Knight of Flowers, even though you're running only one of them in Tyrell, can cause you to sometimes run away with the game because you just like put so much pressure on your opponent early with the ability to push through a challenge, get some renown, and the fact that he also has stealth means you can even more push through a challenge, which in some ways stealth is even better than the Knight of Flowers ability because it can force, like you can lose a it can cause you to lose a challenge that you want to lose because your opponent has to defend it with their best character, and then you can push through two other challenges, which is extremely important early, and more Thrones games, particularly when we get to the agenda, I believe are going to be decided on turn one or turn two. Oh. And the fact that the Knight is such a good early play is really powerful for Greyjoy. So I think he's a very solid B because he fits legitimately the definition of what a B card should be. Like this should be our example of like what B cards are going forward.
I think he's probably a little too good for that. That's why the plus.
I don't know. I mean, he's super efficient, but like you guys have said, most decks only want the one copy. So to go higher than a B, I think I would want to consistently want two or three of them in the deck, though I might in melee. Like he's the sort of character I want to see real fast in melee, but not much more to say past that.
Justin and Jesse, have you guys rated the Knight?
I give it a B.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it whenever you guys have been talking about the how many you'd want in a deck, and I've been thinking about like, okay, what kind of deck could I have? And yeah, I think in comparison to other, well, I don't know. I'm having a hard time with it because whenever I have my Tyrell deck, my ladies deck, because let's face it, Knight of Flowers is essentially a lady. You want multiples of him to do the work. So, but in the Greyjoy deck, if it's going to be specifically Greyjoy, there's so many other cards that you want to do the work. So I guess maybe just one or two of him in a deck at most. So yeah, like B plus. He's good, but he's not like, oh my gosh, I have to have him in a deck like right now.
Who has
Jesse,
not read Will?
Jesse has to read Dampier, doesn't he?
Didn't Jesse read the first card?
His card.
I mean,
yeah, so
he can read Will, who has it. It's the read. First round guy. He can do that.
No, you can read Dampier. I just need to read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cards away. That's the only one I care about. I will talk about Dampier quite a bit, though.
Well, let's get him out there in front of listeners. Yeah. He's unique, of course, and loyal. 5 cost, intrigue, and power icons. 3 strength, drown god, iron board, and lord. Insight and reaction after another drown god character you control killed. Draw 1 card. Once per phase. I mean, you guys already talked about this some on Second Sons, of course, but I mean, here's that draw that Aaron said, thank goodness Greyjoy didn't get more of, right? We've got Insight baked in and a card ability that is just going to churn through stuff as you throw people into the dead pile and yank them back out and kill them again and stuff. I think this guy is, I mean, I would have said this previously about several cards for Drowned God, but I think this guy is a very strong linchpin for that deck. So I'll let someone else hit on it for a bit.
I like this one better than the other. I'm more likely to play this one because the cost is cheaper and I like what the text says.
Yeah. You're talking cheaper than the six cost one, the one that stands.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like this. It's just, what I want out of a Greyjoy deck, I like the ability of this one better. So I'd be so much more likely to play this one.
Yeah. I mean, bare minimum, if you're like, if the game is not going your way, then you're drawing a card when they hit you with a military challenge, or they don't military you at all, which, you know, helps you get back into things. And that's assuming you aren't going off with the Drowned Gut engine.
I mean, he just speeds up the Drowned Gut deck so much that he's a 3 up in all of them. He gives you a second body that helps you to protect against First Snow and similar nonsense that always gives the Drowned Gut deck such a hard time. He's just phenomenal. He's exactly what that deck needed. He's an A.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely an A. And I think he's an A for a couple of reasons. One, he's good. Well, one, Jesse convinced me of this. One, he's good in a Ground God deck. He's worth giving up the recycling characters of the 3-cost one for. Simply because he will almost always replace himself against every faction but Targaryen. So you'll usually draw a card off him. He gives you, should Breaking Ties ever re-enter the meta, he gives you a second safe target for your power, which is really important. And the fact that he has more than one icon is super important in the Drowned Gut deck. And of course, the fact that he can draw you at least one card. But oftentimes what you'll be doing is either be using the card that Jesse wants to talk about earlier to kill another Drowned Gut character and return a Vince or something else to your hand, or you'll be killing something with the event that draws cards. So you're going to be getting at least 2 cards usually off Aaron, which just is going to just power your combo. So the fact that the ability to gain so much card advantage off Aaron that you're usually at the bare minimum with this card going to be card even is just makes him nuts. It makes him an A. He's an A plus because I don't think in a mid-range Greyjoy deck, I think you will run him over the other Aarons, but you won't run a lot of him. You'll run one. So that kind of brings the overall rating down. It doesn't make him S tier because you just don't just slot him in every single Greyjoy deck that you own. But he just really pushes the Drowned Gut deck and makes it more consistent, which is what the deck's been missing, to be a real force in the meta. And so welcome to our Drowned Gut overlords.
I'll go next. That made me feel incredibly good because it's like, I don't know, Roy did not feel that way about that card. So I ranted and I talked and everything he said, I believe is true. I believe this card is not only a big proponent of Drowned Gut moving forward, I believe it is the proponent. It is the engine for draw, which Drowned Gut severely lacked. If you ever played Drowned Gut and you did not see the event, it felt real, real bad.
Yes, it did.
So I believe this card is very, very good. I believe it's the best Aaron we've ever seen. And I'm incredibly excited to play with him. Super excited. He's balanced. And I actually think he's a balanced Drowned Gut card. He's 3 strength. Targa's good in the meta. He is wardable. He is Drakkable.
He's not wardable. He's 5. He's 5.
Oh, he's 5. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, he's still a very balanced card. And he's once per phase. Not all factions can just get insane cards, but he's very good. I like him a lot. I give him an A+. I think he is. I love this card. I love the design of it.
All right. Want to read the drum? Oh, sorry.
A from me.
Drum?
Who wants to read?
That sends us back to Jesse if we're staying in order, for now at least.
Sure. Let's see. The drum. It is a 5/4 military power. Unique character. Non-loyal. Captain Lord traded. While the drum is attacking in a military or power challenge, each character with an intrigue icon cannot be declared as a defender. It's fine. I don't think it's super good by any means, but it might be a one of and like an unopposed rush deck. I don't. Might be too expensive for that deck. I'm not sure.
Yeah. He might be a little more expensive than I would like him to be. But he's cool.
Yeah.
I think the most interesting thing about this card is that he's non-loyal.
Yeah.
So when you're hunting for that 10th or 11th or 12th Take Banner Kraken card, you might see people slotting in.
Yeah.
Is the Knight also non-loyal? Yeah. Let me just double check. He's also non-loyal. Yeah, one of those two cards you'll take. Like, I think definitely this the box overall expands like the non-loyal Greyjoy Banner Kraken package a lot, and the drum is one of those cards. Like, I think there are I don't necessarily think that Greyjoy particularly cares about the redundancy here, because I think Greyjoy, like, if you want to go unopposed, Greyjoy already has that redundancy and with better, more efficient cards. But if you want to import some of that tech into another faction, the drum, like Bear Kraken, I guess, is
what he also has two semi-relevant traits,
yeah,
which might be important.
Yep. Yep, both traits are good. I don't think there's a huge amount of captain synergy, but definitely the Lord helps. But
one captain card in the box, right? Like one, like there's one that gives you captain, and there's one that adds to you being a captain. If I remember,
we'll right. I think they're we'll the same card.
No. We'll get there. I think there's a card that benefits captains.
Right, but anyway, the drum is like a C+ card.
Yep. I would give it a C+ as well.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I mainly just wish he had a keyword of some kind. I partway wonder if, very possibly, if Greyjoy Crossing becomes a thing again, if they still want a copy of him, you know, I think he could really force through some challenge ones. But
I think even without the box, I think Chris Vack showed us that Greyjoy Crossing is still a thing this past
weekend,
right?
My face.
Yeah. Huh? He did. Fair. That's fair.
Top four, only like lost a 40 in the top four. Something person tournament.
So
43 people.
Yeah. I think Greyjoy Crossing is real for sure. I think people were just getting too. I think people were overly excited about the pinch stuff.
It was dead but dreaming, to borrow from a different fandom. It's still like
I think it's still good. I don't think it's as great as everyone thinks it is.
Except it did win Red Saturday, though.
Right, it did win Red Saturday.
Which, you know.
I think if, from my rating on it, I think if it were 3 or 4 cost, it would improve. And I would probably use it a little more. But it's, C+ for me. But I do like what you had to say, Roy, that it brings in some other options into other kinds of decks that you might consider. So fair point. I wish its costs were a little bit lower, though.
So C-, absolutely, the beta has to be completely perfect for you to play this, because like Targ and Stark are just never going to care that you play this. Like, it just doesn't matter to them. Might as well just be blank, and a blank 5 for 4 is just not a good card. And right now, those are the two most prominent factions. It's possible that those both completely go away. But, like, unless the two top factions that are, like, everywhere are Martell and Lanny, this card's just not worth it. C-.
And Tyrell, too.
Yeah, I guess Tyrell.
You could push through a lot of power challenges against Tyrell with this card.
Yeah, definitely.
It's like every Tyrell card is intrigue power.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, I was just like Randall and KOF at least. Defend this, shrug, and move on.
Yeah, but like Randall obviously busted, but like you run one King of Flowers or King Knight of Flowers, right? So,
like, yeah.
But like your best card's Renly
for another few months. Like, hoping you can't defend, for that rotation by Renly.
Yeah, for another few
months. All right. C-.
Is
Roy for Gwyneth?
Is Lady Harlaw mine? Yeah.
Sure enough.
Is it Gwyneth?
Gwyneth.
Is it Gwyneth?
Right?
Gwyneth.
George R. R. Martin says you can say it however you want.
However the heck
Lucy
I want.
Harlaw.
All right. Gwen. Let's call her Gwen. Gwen Harlaw. She's a loyal, four-cost, blue-iconed, three-strength House Harlaw lady. She's an action. Choose three cards in an opponent's discard pile and place them at the bottom of his or her deck in any order. Then gain one gold and draw one card. Limit once per round.
Thank goodness.
Okay.
It's limited.
Wow. There's a lot going on in this. Yeah. So there's a lot going on in this card, which makes it slightly difficult to assess. But I think she is evergreen pseudo Triss. She does do hate against decks that are relying on at a specific time having specific cards in their discard pile. Right. Which is what Triss is also about. Like the ability to
new copies of those cards, which is a lot.
Right, new copies. But I said pseudo.
She's a lot
stronger than Triss. But I'm trying to think of like what or weaker, excuse me. Triss is a lot stronger than this card. I apologize. On the hate effect of it, right? But because it's so much weaker, Danny pushed it in the sense of you also gain some economy and you draw a card. And I don't think in all metas paying four gold for a monocon that gives you this ability is great. But I think this is a card that was clearly designed when Tyrell Hightower mace decks were the thing. Because the ability to take the three best cards out of your opponent's discard pile, and so it's good against Stark in particular right now, and put them at the bottom of their deck, draw a card, gain a gold, is really strong. And it can also sometimes in the current meta be strong against Stark or Targaryen. But against other factions, like against other Greyjoy decks, against Lannister, against Baratheon, against modern Tyrell in many cases, like this effect is not going to be that great. So I'm going to give her a B-/C+. But in certain metas, she rises to a B+, even A-. But I don't think we currently exist in that meta.
Well, so a lot of the decks that I play with Greyjoy, like your main goal is to be first player. So like you want to go first, you want to power through as much as you can. So speaking from her text alone, a lot of benefits there. So like getting to control the other opponent's discard pile, cool. But gaining a gold and drawing a card. So like that next card that you draw may be the one that you want to play right now, and maybe you need that gold for it. And so then you get more control over what you get to do. It's super cool. My biggest downside is, yeah, that she is only one icon. Like, that's pretty meh to me. But I think she has potential to be pretty nice to play. So I would say B+ for me. Her cost isn't too bad to me for what she can do.
This card is an A+ card. This card's good. Really good. This card's an A+ card. This card's very good.
Huh.
I hate that she only has one icon. I wish she'd at least have like an... I don't see her doing well with military, but I wish she had an intrigue.
I mean, I can agree.
I'm playing Greyjoy. I've got every other seven drop in the game, dog. I don't care.
I don't know. I'm afraid the meta right now might be a little fast for her to particularly have a home. I am dropping... Well, sort of.
I don't think that's a downside of the card. I think
sure,
it's a downside of
like,
the game.
Yeah. I'm just saying it's kind of situational at the moment.
I think this card's really good against Targ, actually.
It's really good against Targ if you don't draw it too early.
Yeah,
I think if you draw it early, it's kind of just there.
Yeah.
I think if you play this card round two against Targaryen or Stark, it's very good. Like, very good. Like, it's what you want to see.
Or even if you draw it early, then as long as you can keep her in your hand until you play her just right.
Depending on what you're going to do. There's only so many flea bottoms.
I just think I think there's a no fun Greyjoy deck with Triss and this card that is just gross.
Maybe. I think that only stops one kind of no fun. So I play a lot of...
This card, here's the thing. Even if it did not say choose three cards in opponent's discard pile and place them on the bottom of the deck, okay, a 4/3 monocon that says gain that's one gold and says. Draw a card.
Because unless I'm wrong,
I'm just saying
you have to have three cards in the opponent's discard pile. So
you do.
Correct. Like, are you going to be able to get three cards in the opponent's discard pile every turn? I don't think so. I don't.
In a pillage deck?
I mean, sure.
If you're in a pillage deck.
Hard.
If you're pushing hard pillage, but if you are, then do you want to use this and dump cards back in their deck? Like, it's going to be a fine line to walk to have enough pillage.
Like the anti-synergy with, then you're not using Triss to remove things, then you're not stealing shit with Euron or Balon because that's also take things out. I think this card.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Well, Balon not only picks things out, but shuffles them, right?
There's an upper limit to how many of these discard removal effects you can play.
I think she's...
I believe history will tell the time on this card.
I don't think so. I think the cost and the awkward strength slot and the fact that it's going to be hard to repeat with the other Greyjoy effects that you would rather have. And especially because, the four-cost slot Greyjoy is real crowded. Because, Gwynny's looks real, real nice for a ward, while the very next card lets me discard a ward.
So, here's what I'm gonna say: if we some point get back to where the meta was in July, this card is good. But in a world where the cards that created the July meta are restricted, and we live in a world of Sea of Blood and Crossing as being two of the strongest agendas, this card is too much of a tempo hit to do what it needs, except maybe against Targaryen and certainly it's a good card against Stark. But the question is, I don't know if Targ gives you enough time to be paying four cost for a blue icon that can get Dannied easily.
Over Drogon the summer really with easily. Breaking Ties and everything else, Flea Bottom was three of card in every deck. And then Stark got good and you had to worry about Frozo. And then Targ got an attachment. Targ got their non-limited and you had to worry about that. And then Greyjoy got good again. You had to worry about their eight answers. And now, even in my controliest control decks, and I don't think it's just me because I know Looch did it, the world champion deck did it. You're running two Flea Bottom, and it's a really great bonus, but it's no longer what your deck is relying on. Decks no longer just rely on those discard pile synergies and win based on them because they can't.
Yeah.
So I'm going.
I'm on board with her being overhyped. I agree with the C.
I like her design. All
right. I'm gonna play.
She was great
Andrew
in July.
Smiling. Who's Andrew?
That one is Kristen.
Okay. So we have Andrew the Unsmiling, unique, non-loyal, four cost, military, and five strength. We have pillage and a reaction. So after Andric the Unsmiling discards a card using pillage, choose a non-limited location or attachment in the losing opponent's discard pile. Discard one copy of that card. Discard one copy of that card. Play. There we go.
So,
and he's Ironborn and Raider.
Kills cohort deck.
Yeah.
I hate so card.
So strong.
I hate slot machine effects.
But it's not slot. It's not even slot machine.
So
bad. You have a dupe.
Well, that's true. It's better than that.
You have a duped Starfall, right? They play newly made Lord, sack one, win a challenge, Andric, goodbye Starfall. Like, same thing with Ward, same thing with freaking Froso, same thing with Milk, same thing with, like, all of your cool stuff you want to do with Kohor. This card is especially in a Sea of Blood meta, because, like, you could also, like, do that and then go get a freaking, could, like, put to the torch and get rid of Dorn in one shot. Like, it is nuts how good this card is. I hate this card. It's an A at worst. And I also think Greyjoy 4 cost is getting very crowded, because I think you have to fit one of these at least in every Greyjoy.
It's definitely an A, and it's definitely boring.
Yeah. I mean, it's just efficient, good removal slash protection slash offensive. Yeah, just it does a lot. The one icon is maybe a mild worry, but probably not.
It's more mild than Gwyneth, or Gwyneth, however you pronounce it, because she's, you know, 4 cost and one icon, so he is infinitely better than her, plus the fact that he has more strength and, you know, really good reaction too. So I would be more likely to use him, so I'd give him A rating for sure over
I don't want any card having this ability, but from now this ability he should be like a 4-for-2
I mean, and it should have to be the card that he pillages and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is... I don't like this card. I agree with everyone. I think he's overpushed. I think I want to build on Kristen's point. What separates him from... he wins challenges. Like, he survives a Dracaris. 5 strength can usually win you a challenge or require your opponent to super defend. People have been begging for, and I, one of the things that that I think Danny is probably proud of, but I find frustrating about this box, is people have been begging for location hate and attachment hate, and they got some in this fetch, in this box. I just think it's pushed in a really poor way, and we have to.
No, yeah, but like,
well, this one's active. Get a win challenge.
Discard location, we'll except, like, win a challenge and do a thing isn't, like, super interactive. Challenges are going to be won in a game.
You know, that's a whole podcast episode about what we consider
interactive.
But, I have to put my good friend Scott Levine, like, he hates this card probably more than almost anyone could possibly hate a card just because of its sheer variance. And it's, in many ways, this is the highlight of it's a star card, and it's going to really, I think this card is a microcosm for whether people are going to love the box or hate it.
This is literally,
because there's a lot of,
these are the kind of cards I hate. Okay. This is the kind of card where you're playing against the deck and you see a Balon, Asha, and Andric the Unsmiling against you, and you feel pressured, and you draw Milk, and you feel like you have to milk him, because if he top decks a card, you auto lose. And that,
same with the mountain.
That is a feel bad card. I don't think that's skill based. I just don't like it. It's super frustrating. And I think for the first time in a long time, they design a very cool agenda in trading with the Kohor, and this is just a direct answer to that, and it's not overpowered in any way. So I don't.
But are you talking about Kohor? Is that overpowered in any way?
How many big tournaments have they won?
Italy.
So Wama and Nico have won with it. I think it's a bad that doesn't mean it's a good agenda. That means that Wama and Nico are insane.
I think it's a well.
I think it's a good
agenda. I agree with you, but like, we don't need to print answers for it.
I think you should listen to the White Book episode that Will and I recorded about Kohor.
I did. I liked the episode. I'm just saying I don't like this card.
No, I agree. I mean, I think we're all in agreement. I think this is an A-minus card, but I begrudgingly, like a student that gave me a hard time the whole marking period and made my teaching life difficult but still did the work really well, I begrudgingly give this card
Okay. Let's see. Right. Sends us to Aaron.
I'm the maid, right? All right. Carl the maid, 4 for 3. Military power, ironborn, non-loyal, unique. Reaction, after you win a challenge in which Carl the maid is assisting, either stand a warship location or stand Asha Greyjoy. And this card is why we are not seeing the end of Big Asha. Right there. Like, he goes in every warship deck. He goes in every Greyjoy deck, basically. Because there's no reason not to run him.
Yeah.
He's...
This card's cool.
Yeah. I would absolutely have him in almost every single one of my Greyjoy decks.
All the melee.
Yep.
Yeah. He's great middle-of-the-road cost, middle-of-the-road strength, and really nice for warship stand or bring out.
Or use those warships to stand
Vic. Most decks.
Yeah.
Can't survive 2 turns of Euron or 2 turns of Asha. And that's what Carl the Maid says. Deal with 2 turns of Euron or two challenges of Euron or 2 turns of Asha. Like, and then you can add in all the 800 other races. Oh, God.
And Vic. So it gives you action with all three of the major. Balon.
Yeah.
3 of the 4 major Greyjoy characters, you get action.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one works really well with the Box Theon.
What? I don't even remember what the box is.
Which one?
There's no box Theon. But there's already two good Theons. So it's okay.
Sure. He does work on defense as well, which might be a possibility.
He does.
It's a nice extra kind of case.
I think it's an extra very good case because I don't think Greyjoy cares about going first.
Plus card.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it's like a B+. I think it's like a B card. I think it's very good. I don't think it's ever good enough because you don't want to see it without the other pieces. I don't think you're going to run 3 of it. I think you're going to run like 1 or a GK2 of.
The other pieces are very often.
I think it's still very good. Yeah, I mean, like, the issue is, like, he's a 4 roster, and, like, why would you play anything but 7? Like,
he's good at. He's good at parity, and he's good when you're ahead.
I don't see as long as you can keep Big Asha alive. Like, if I can draw in anywhere around the Greyjoy mid game, if I can get 2 cards with Big Asha, I feel real comfortable about winning that game because I'm just searching for the right 2 cards I need for that situation.
Right.
Like
maybe yeah.
So
I mean, I think
also notable
is fine. I mean, he's
in which he is participating. Not attacking.
Right.
Oh, sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, Will said that.
Yeah, we talked about defense.
We had like a 5-minute conversation about
sorry.
That. And the drunk guy is throwing shade at Billy the conversation blazer.
He's real good.
I'll give him a B. I think he's a B card.
I think he's an A.
Yeah, there you go, Chris. Stick it to him.
I think he is.
Yeah, Chris and I are going to build some sweet warship decks and just wreck you guys.
Do it. Hey, Kristen's going to need a deck for Isle Worlds, so there you go.
We can play the same deck.
So you're going to be playing Drowned God. Good luck. all right. So I think I'm up now, right?
Should be me.
The next one.
it's you, Will?
Okay. If I've been following the chart that I wrote down correctly. Aaron just read, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm Mirror.
Hi, Mirror.
Which we actually talked about on last week's podcast. So he's unique, non-loyal, 3 cost, 2 strength, intriguing power icons. He's a maester, and interrupt when the effects of a triggered location ability would initiate Neil Maester Muirenmer.
Yay, more cancel! I love cancel!
I mean, here's another one that I think probably just fits that you know, perfect B definition, right? Like,
what?
Every Greyjoy deck from here on out runs 1 copy of it.
No!
Okay. Some people may want more, like Kristen, but I don't think I go in so hard that I want multiples of a unit.
Kristen, we're gonna run three in our Greyjoy. We're gonna run three in our Greyjoy Conclave. It's fine.
Cancel.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, maesters that are worthwhile to pull in for Conclave.
What's?
I will say that
this. Will, all right, write the timestamp down, Will, because I'm going to say something.
Yeah.
This card. like,
please don't delete
it is
that.
Super, super overpushed. Okay, so many places where, one, it's just like repeatable location. It's not even repeatable location control, it's repeatable location control. So it says, like, look, you're playing a wall. Like, Jesse should be crying for his man, Daryl. Like, you're playing the wall and you're playing against Greyjoy. You're already miserable. And
Daryl gets what he deserves for playing Builders.
And then you're just like, oh, so my wall trigger never goes off. He's a 3-for-2 bicon. He's missing the word loyal, which, like, I mean, so that means he goes in all Conclave decks forever.
I mean, like, the Conclave thing is a good thing.
How we must
the
fear
Bicon, though, like, oh, I don't think you take advantage of the Bicon. Like, you want this threat of activation. You're not using him in challenges.
Some decks, it's worthless. Like, if he was a monocon, this card would be a lot worse. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, like, you just, against some effects, the fact it's also economy locations that it can hit, so it's choke, which I loathe. I loathe.
Choke doesn't even exist.
But the fact that he has this level of flexibility.
Stop.
Right? Greyjoy Winter is so for you,
yeah.
Choke does exist right now because there's a new agenda out. Wait, Jesse.
Choke exists.
Choke exists is that there's a new agenda that you have to run a million economy locations in. And if you get your, like, bonus gold canceled, yeah, I love that agenda. It's my favorite agenda. But if you get your early economy canceled in that agenda, you can just, like, shake the Greyjoy player's hand and go have a cook.
I mean, don't, like, I don't know, 80% of decks just, like, shake hands with somebody who plays free folk?
I don't know. I don't know what you're going to do it.
I mean, don't.
But his card is super overpushed, like, in a bad way. Like, I think
he's an A plus.
This card's
he's an A.
I love it so much.
Skagos, this Winterfell.
But I'm trying to remember, like, in first ed, Miramir was just okay. So I'm really excited.
Phenomenal.
That this was awesome.
I feel like you guys are really overextending on this one based on what I'm about to read. I mean, they don't exist.
Go away. Yeah.
So do
he thinks your Harrenhal trigger can?
So does literally 20 other cards in the game.
But can I go back to actually a point that Jesse made about Conclave earlier? And I agree. Like, Conclave right now is terrible, but Conclave is a sleeping giant because once we reach a point where there's a 12 good efficient maesters that provide value, that becomes a very playable agenda. Like, the problem with Conclave right now is not that Conclave itself is garbage, because Conclave itself does a lot of really cool things and a lot of useful things. The fact that you run a thinner deck, the fact that you can run 12 out of faction cards for utility is actually really, really useful. The problem is the maesters are largely garbage. There's like 6 that are useful. And each one that you add, once you reach that, the maester package is strong enough, Conclave becomes extremely playable and extremely strong, particularly if the maesters become easy answers. And Miramir is an easy, efficient answer. And that's what I find frustrating and annoying.
So,
but that's the end of my Conclave rant.
I give this card a B.
What?
Thank you, Jesse. I'm glad we are maintaining some level of decorum here.
No. I give this card an A freaking plus.
Yeah, there you go.
Because it's low cost. I mean, yeah, sure, low strength. So you aren't probably going to use it in a ton of challenges. But I love that it does add more intrigue to the house itself, but I love cancel. It's one of my favorite things. I feel like Greyjoy to an extent has been lacking in, and so I love it. I give it an A+. I'm excited to have it in a deck. I'm sorry, you guys will hate me.
Ah, you're fine.
Jesse, read your favorite card.
Okay. I would like to preface this by saying anyone who thinks any other card in this box is busted has not read this card. This card is the second best Greyjoy card that exists after Vents.
Because it synergizes with Vents, I hear.
This is a 3-for-2 unique intrigue power icon loyal called Old Grey Goal. Drowned God and Ironborn traded. Action, kneel Old Grey Goal to choose another Greyjoy character you control. Then you may return that character from your dead pile to your hand.
Ooh.
Even in a non-Drowned God deck, this card is busted. Vents every single turn. If you see two of these and you cannot kill the Old Grey Goal, it is over. Like, you cannot trigger anything.
You need what?
Like, in a Drowned God deck, this card is so busted. Like, it just feeds everything you want to do. It's cheap. It's a bicon. It's loyal. It's 2 strength. It has the correct traits. So, you can bring it. This card's the best card in the box. There's no, like, this card is insane. I mean, this card is,
no.
Like,
the,
this card is the
what
base
is important
of the
Greyjoy
box.
Banner.
It's a very similar ability.
Yeah, you put it with a Drowned God, and you know you have Aaron Vampire out there, and that has a lot of really nice synergy.
What is important to remember, yep, thankfully, is that Ward is still a card.
Yep. I didn't say it was unbalanced.
It's largely unbalanced.
It's just an insane card.
It's pretty unbalanced.
I'm just saying, like, it has answers in the meta. Stark and Targ are the best decks in the game, and this answers both of them.
Oh my gosh, and this card Aaron,
both of them.
You have this card with Aaron, and then the next card that we're going to read, OMG.
I give this card an S or whatever, tears, it's busted. Yep, it's...
I mean...
Agreed.
If you don't agree, just follow my Jousting Pavilion for the next 3 tournaments and wonder why I'm playing Greyjoy.
For a while. Let's go.
Yeah. But I think there's a little bit more.
Oh, I don't think
so. I think what makes this card S tier compared to. Well, I'll make my argument for why it's S tier. Why I think this card is S tier over Aaron not being S tier is I think that this is at least a 2x or 3x in all Greyjoy decks because simply. Okay, so it has the Vents interaction, which is primarily what you're going to want to do for Drowned God decks, but also for mid range Greyjoy decks, but also the ability to just get your bail on. You kill a Greyjoy Chud. So you kneel. So you're in the marshalling phase. You have Grey Goal out. You kneel a reducer to get the -1. You kill the reducer. You get your dead Balon from your own Valor out, and then you play that Balon.
To balance this card, it should have been a challenges action.
And it could have been a challenge action. It still would have been
absolutely gross. But it being an action, me being able to do this in plot phase is just stupid.
Well. One
plot draw beginning of marshalling, just like if you've got
if you don't Valor into my wildfire, I win. Like, you better hope
you dumb
Valor
stuff
and I don't
with,
have a save
with Tarl, which is where you can kill a Drowned God character, remarshal that character, but also get a character back. Like, he's just such a card advantage engine in Greyjoy because he feeds into all the Greyjoy themes. That's what makes him S tier. Like, Aaron doesn't super feed into all the Greyjoy themes in an over the top way, but Old Grey Gold does. And you're going to see a lot of really interesting and cool plays with him. And you're also going to be super duper annoyed because you're like, oh my God, I finally, my Greyjoy opponent aggressively Valored me. But I had a bunch of saves, but I played it well, and I was able to Valor them back. I'm great. I don't have to deal with Balon again. I don't have to deal with Asha again. And then they play Old Grey Goal and a reducer, and they kill the reducer, and they get the Asha back, and they play the Asha, and you're just like, oh, We start this whole cycle over again.
So
here's is really powerful.
Okay, I do apologize. I had to step away for just a sec. How are they killing the reducer and then getting Asha?
Then you may return. As you do this in marshalling, right? Unless I'm reading this wrong, you kneel old Grey Gull to kill another Greyjoy character. You can kill any Greyjoy character, right? Then you return the character from the dead pile to your hand.
So if you kill a reducer, you get that reducer.
You can get
whatever character you kill.
Yeah. Oh, it's whatever character you kill. Excuse me, I'm misreading.
I apologize. I was afraid I had missed something.
I was misreading the card. That's entirely on me, so I apologize.
Okay. So it's here's slightly less bonkers.
Nope, it's not. Roy just misread.
It's not, because you just killed... Just
it's still Vince. Just the second best Greyjoy card in the game, and not the second best card in the game.
Look, it's also attachment control.
Does anyone know the lore of old Grey Gull?
He's some other random priest of the Drowned Goddess.
Correct. Right? His true name is unknown. He just lives on a rock, and he leaves the rock to inform the island of Harlaw, of Aaron Greyjoy's calling for a king's moot. That's all he does. And then he's taken and imprisoned by Euron. I don't know why this card. Oh. Why old Grey Gull?
He's not even killed and brought back to life?
No. I have no idea why he's busted. Wait.
Does anyone else want to say "I'm old Greg" whenever they hear this?
Absolutely. Not,
like all the cool interaction with this card, and it's going to do one or two really cool things a game. Imply that your opponent just doesn't exist. What this does is it pushes attrition style decks, and it pushes like decks that Drowned God really doesn't like dealing with. It pushes attrition. It pushes a lot of extra wolf battery stuff. It pushes like Venomous Blade. It pushes He Calls It Thinking. Like, all of those things are still relevant, and like they just get a big boost with this card. And I think that I think most of the S tier cards, it's much harder to answer Aaron Dampier than it is to answer old Grey Gull. Like, I feel like I can just handle old Grey Gull.
I will say this. I think that if we get a true restricted list where we restrict Targ and Stark cards, like, Greyjoy will have to be dealt with. I mean, because if you can promise me I will not... If you can promise me that I won't have to deal with 6 Targ or Stark matchups in a tournament, then this deck just wins 80% of its games. Like, if I see Vince and old Grey Gull, you can't trigger anything. And then I'm just building power faster than you. Like people just haven't played it in a while. Like, nothing's changed. Like, the game hasn't gotten slower. That much. Like, it was already that fast. Like, Drowned God was already that good. It's like people just aren't playing it. Like, people didn't really play it. Drowned God is good, and this card makes it better. And even in non-Drowned God, in just no fun Greyjoy decks, this card makes Vince even more oppressive.
I mean, it is good, but I do want to say I think it's a possibility when you're looking at bigger events that the complexity of triggers involved in this sort of thing may drive people away. Like, may just have them looking toward stuff. Like, if I was looking at playing in a 6 round of Swiss plus top 16 or something, that's a lot of triggers to stay really exactly on top of.
Here's what I'll tell you. If this isn't a no fun deck and it's a good play, it's a great player, like a Wama level player.
Yeah.
And we have a Martell deck, doesn't matter which one, any Martell deck, any Night's Watch deck, does not matter which one. I don't care about any of them. 9 times out of 10, maybe 10 times out of 10, Greyjoy beats them now. I don't even think it's close. Like, if you can't trigger things in those decks, you can't do anything. If I convince you 7 times in a game that you've tried to trigger Ariane, or you've tried to trigger either Ariane or a spy or like anything, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're getting burnt so quickly. Because I'm also Greyjoy, and I can just beat you down and also play 3 Nightmares, 3 Hinge Judgments, because I have room for them. And you don't. I can play, like plots in my deck to just stop what you're doing. Like, I think this card's oppressive. Like, I love this card. I'm telling you, I love this card. I'm giving it the same thing I gave Mace. This card is incredibly oppressive, and I love it, but it should be restricted immediately. Like, this card should not be valid. It will win games when it should not, and it will reward good players who choose to play it and make them great.
I think it's going to be great.
No, I gave it an A.
S is all around? Oh, okay.
I just think it's answerable.
S for me.
Like, what? I think a restricted list could change.
Right? I hope so.
But with the game the
sure,
way it
yeah,
is,
you're
I
correct.
Feel
you're
like
correct for sure.
The three most popular factions at houses, besides just other Greyjoy and another Greyjoy, you're just yeah, which is
Targon's
exactly what
Stark handle it pretty
Stark
easily.
The two most
actually.
Popular there everywhere. Greyjoy just freaking vinces it itself, and then you have stupid yep. little Karloff, and I don't even know what happens then. Like and now you're and like yep. what else sees play Lannister sure. might kill right and.
But I think the card is oppressive by itself, and I think in a vacuum it's oppressive, and with Vince it's just gross. I mean, it's the same thing as like if you play Drowngod and you triggered old like Roy, you're the only one who's played Drowngod here. Like, how great did it feel when you could old wick Vince back to your hand? When they could trigger Vince 3 or 4 times in a game versus like this is going to
yeah.
give them the ability
yeah,
to trigger.
Vince
it, like,
has already changed
every single round. I mean, that's just
so right. Like, it's the reason I'm not like. But now,
if you
but
play
now
Martell,
I have to play more attachment control and I have to play more location control. And, like, my events have to do different things.
Sure.
Do, and I have to be able to like overload Vince triggers. I have to run things like his Viper. Like, it just it changed the game already. Like, so this is just further emphasizing that those changes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I don't care about the first.
All right. So. Are we moving on?
Yeah, I think we should. Roy should be our next reader, but I'm not sure he's here at the moment.
We asked you a question.
I'm here. What's up?
Oh, you would be our next reader.
Oh, sure. Yep. I know. I heard that you asked me a question, or you just wanted me to read another.
Well, we asked you a question 5 minutes ago. Yeah. We didn't answer.
Yeah, pretty much.
I said, how great did it feel when you could old wick Vince back to your hand?
It was a good time.
Yes.
Anyway, so Priest of Old Wick, speaking of Old Wick, is a 3-cost blue icon, 4-strength, non-loyal Drown God character. While there is a Drown God character in your dead pile, Priest of Old Wick contributes its strength to your total for dominance even while kneeling. You will never play this card.
Unplayable.
It is a D.
Is it a D? If it's unplayable, I would say that's an F.
It's an F card. It's literally the worst card.
Yeah, it's just
I mean, it's literally the worst card that, and then the box.
Okay, it might be in the box. Probably not.
It's the worst card in the box. It's utter garbage.
I don't know. I haven't seen the other cards. I don't think it's necessary. It may be the worst, but I mean, I could see the potential of, you know, you have Old Grey Gull and you are killing another character, but then you also have Aaron Dampair and you're choosing to kill a Drowned God one, and so then you get to draw a card, and then you know you're still you have the option.
So like, here's the thing, so like I'm in no way saying in a vacuum it's that bad of a card. Like, I don't think it's great. I think it's like just like a mediocre card, like we're saying. I just like built tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of Drowned God lists. Like, this just doesn't make the cut. Like, it's only a niche card in a Drown God deck, and like I just it just doesn't fit.
I haven't built a Drown God one, so
if you just read 10 other Drown God characters, they're just better than this one. So this one just doesn't like won't make the cut. Right. It's like the same thing as like the Drowned Men, like the ones that are getting a lot of love because of the warships now, like they're just unplayable because like the others just don't synergize as well. Like, in a Drown God deck, like you're not really struggling with winning dominance usually.
Drown Prophet?
I give it an F. Did you
I'm sorry.
I don't think Will rated Drown.
Oh, all right.
It's just not going to
I don't think Kristen did either.
I guess that probably makes it... I don't think it's actively bad, so I'm probably just going to say D, but it's not going to make the cut.
Yeah. Sure. I think that's where I'm at. Like, I don't think it's just god-awful. I just like I think it's so bad because it only adds to Drowned God decks, and I don't think it could ever make a Drowned God deck.
It only does things that Nog is...
62 or 3.
Unless you're me and you like 65.
Yeah, okay.
Kristen's up on Drowned Prophet? Unless she needs to rate Priest still.
D plus, D minus. I don't know. It'd be one of those that I'd just kind of have to look at things and see if I'd want to. But I mean, it's definitely not as exciting as the other cards that we've been reading about. And it's better than some of the other mediocre ones that I've rated. So, sure. It's going to be below them.
That's fair.
All right. So, Drowned Prophet?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. So, 2 cost, 2 strength. Just has power. Non-unique, non-loyal, Drowned God. It has an interrupt effect, and when Drowned God Prophet is killed, search the top 5 cards of your deck for a Greyjoy character and place it in your dead pile. Shuffle your deck.
This card really? Made me take my shirt off.
What are you using it with?
So Drowned God, 2 strength, 2 cost. It has power icon, Drowned God. It is non-loyal, non-unique. It has an interrupt effect when Drowned Prophet is killed. Search the top 5 cards of your deck for a Greyjoy character and place it in your dead pile. Shuffle your deck.
Woo!
Very strong.
Spicy. As long as you've got a way to get it back out of that dead pile. Turns out Tarl's going to make that pretty good. Pretty good.
And let's see here. There
we are. I mean, and just the ability to put Vince in there is also really strong.
Right.
To put the Apostle in there can also be really strong. Now that you're running... the 5 cost Aeron over the 3, the synergies are slightly different, but just the filter alone and with Old Wick still being an important part of the deck. This is definitely a nice solid B card in the Drowned God deck. The question, you're running somewhere between 2 to 3, I think. Jesse and I were just talking about that a little while ago, and I would definitely say that that's where you're going to end up being. Like, you want to see this card. You particularly want to see it early when you're searching for your pieces. And just more redundancy and draw is and card replacement is really powerful in Drowned God.
Yeah, it's super cool. And if I'm going to see a little Monocon and Greyjoy right now, 2 cost, I think, is where I want to see that. So
yeah,
he's a neat effect at the low end of the curve. I like it. B sounds reasonable to me.
I don't know how to use them. I'm going to give them a C. But I assume that you guys are better than I am.
At Drowned God?
Yeah, we'll see.
So Eager Deckhand, who's up with that one?
Let's see. Kristen just read. So Aaron's up.
Eager Deckhand is a 2-cost military icon. 2 strength, ally, and raider. After a warship location enters play into your control, put your deckhand into play from your hand. He's got a nice home in the warship deck. I don't think it's super interesting. But in the warship deck, characters are nice, right?
Yeah, he's a great, lower cost character that you can, potentially put in for free or whatever. So it's a great character to be able to kill that you don't really care as much about. Depending on what kind of deck
powerful. Oh. Yeah, of course. I think he's only... I mean, Greyjoy, like, it might be the only faction that is, like, overloaded at 2-cost 2-cost 2-strength red icon characters. with the other raider that's of course seen a lot of play, but also the one in the core set. I feel like there's another one. There's the one that Neil's locations and is bestow. There's just like a ton of them. And I feel like this one, and each one of them has relatively narrow applications, and this one only, I think, sees play in a deck that's dedicated to the box Euron silence synergies. Because like the ability to get 12 gold of value for 6 gold is really powerful. But, you know, if you've already done that and you top deck one of these, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if your deck's built tightly around Euron and silence synergy, sure. If it's not, go to one of the other two drops.
Yep.
So this is
Card. Between this and silence, I may not want to empty out my hand completely with Greyjoy, right? Seems like it might move along pretty fast. A lot of these draw effects we're seeing are all Drowned God specific, whereas that may not have a lot of overlap with the worship stuff. So I don't know. I'm tempted to say he gets cut more often than not. I think he's maybe just a C.
Yeah. B minus to C.
Sends me to the Reaver. Orcmont Reaver. Non-loyal, 2-cost, military and power icon, 1 strength, ironborn and raider trait. Pillage, and while an opponent has 10 or more cards in his or her discard pile, Orcmont Reaver gains stealth. I think I'm much more likely to take a look at the Reaver, even if that takes a little bit to turn on. I do really like the thought of a mid-game 2-drop with stealth, with 2 icons. That stealth's going to do a lot of work. 1 strength, you're not going to be...
Put
the swords or whatever if it's, you know, everything you're counting on for Sea of Blood, but it's gonna help if you've got any other bodies.
He totally depends on the whole 10 or more cards in discard pile, so you don't want to see him at the beginning of the game necessarily. You want to see him towards the end after you've had enough pillage going on. So I am more likely to use him than I'm honestly probably more likely to use Eager than the Reaver. Because you can use him more readily than the Reaver. The only downside is, you know, Eager has less icons, but I don't know. I'm more likely to use Eager than I am Orcmont. So Orcmont to me is a D plus to C minus because you have to wait, or you want to wait until the end of the game to use him.
Hmm.
I mean, Greyjoy can do a lot of work with pillage, and that's awesome, but I mean, you're not going to see that the first couple turns necessarily, depending on what all you have going on.
They can. And, you know, with stuff like Gwyneth or... what's his name? Triss, there we go. You know, you might be keeping him off of 10 cards for a little bit. I don't know. I mean, I probably don't care much to see him, like, turn one, but I don't think it'll take long.
Go ahead, Glazer.
I'm not planning on trying to wait for him. I think early game is too important, and the fact that he doesn't turn until mid game and has low draw means that I'm probably happier just not playing.
Yeah, same. Well,
absolutely. I mean, we exist right now in a meta where 1 strength characters have to be high impact, and this is not high impact. It's got a keyword on a 2-cost 90 character, which is a little unique. But other than that, unless you're literally playing a janky pillage deck, I don't think you play this over any of the other 2-drops in Greyjoy or probably any of the 2-drops in your banner faction. So this is a D card, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm higher than that. I don't think I actually gave him a letter. I'm going to give him a C.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not playing this card. Next.
So who's reading Great Wick?
I was going to say, we already did Silence, so we get to move on to Great Wick.
I can just do it real quick.
That would have been... Yeah, I was going to say that would have been Jesse, but he had to step away. So it's back to Roy.
All right. So he's a three-cost... It's a three-cost... not a unique, excuse me, Greyjoy location. Great Wick, Drowned God, Iron Islands. After a character enters play, has a reaction. After a character enters play from your dead pile, each opponent chooses and discards one card from his or her hand. Limit once per phase. This is a very strong card, but I don't know if Drowned God decks the way they're traditionally built want to spend three gold on something that's not about getting their combo off. Like, they don't really care about what's in your hand. They just care about power on the board and power on their house card. So I think this is actually a C card, even though in many other factions that have a specific synergy built around a zone, it would be stronger. But I think since Drowned God decks are so centered around the power combo, spending three gold tempo hit for something that doesn't further that is just too weak to see play. And it doesn't have a place in Greyjoy midrange because you're not bringing a lot of characters out of your dead pile in Greyjoy midrange. So it doesn't have a secondary use. And so it doesn't have a niche use. It doesn't have a general good stuff deck use. So that makes that a D card for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right on the ball that like Greyjoy Drowned God stuff is basically a combo deck, and this card is somewhere in the realm of attrition. Maybe a control deck may have wanted this. It just doesn't jive very well. On the slight chance it had been a random discard, maybe some Drowned God decks that are really worried about some kind of hoser might want it. But since your opponent chooses, like, you're never even going to randomly blow up the silver bullet in their hand. So it just doesn't really have the right home.
Yeah.
So I'll go D as well.
Same.
Yep. I'm actually at F. So, you know, whatever.
It's a really cool looking effect, though. It's impressive to read.
If it weren't limit once per phase, it would be incredible.
Oh, well, yeah, then you would have a, like, Drowned God control deck or something that came together, for sure.
Agreed.
But it didn't.
Who wants to give us the Golden Storm?
That one's Kristen.
All right, Golden Storm. Two cost, it's unique, and it is a warship reaction. After you win a military challenge as the attacking player, kneel Golden Storm to choose and kill a participating character. Then, if you control a participating raider character, stand Golden Storm.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, you basically either need Victarion or ways to make multiple military challenges for this to have any use, right? Like, because it only triggers off of winning a military on attack. So you're not going to be using this in multiple challenges normally to really hit things home. Is there anything else that just kneels a random warship other than Victarion?
Vic is the big one. And I guess King Balon kneels Greyjoy locations to give it a benefit. But I think that's it.
Still seems... It seems too spotty. I would rather just have like some other filler for Vic or things that had like a broader application. This is pretty narrow with military, attack, raider... Like, stand it and then try to find some kind of use for it after that. Like, I'm not feeling Golden Storm, really.
Fair.
Oh, and it only kills participating characters.
Glazer, do you want to go ahead? Oh, go. Sorry, Kristen.
No, you're fine. It's just, it's kind of okay. It's just in my mediocre range.
I think Golden Storm is actually really good. I think Golden Storm is the key card for a new unopposed deck, which is not a deck we currently have, but it's very easily a deck we could have. Which I think is
just on leveraging the dissuading people from defending the military challenge.
I mean,
couldn't see in blood.
Basically.
Well, yeah, that's fair. I hadn't really thought of a Sea of Blood unopposed deck. When Aaron mentioned
it, could also unopposed. Just easily be crossing, right? Like getting unopposed game. It's where it could be HRD, the whatchamacallit.
Great Kraken.
Great Kraken, thank you. HRD Kraken seems really good this way too. Like that's a fair amount of options. Like if you can look, I'm not saying you have to, right? I'm saying that like having the option seems I played Gift of the Widow for the first time. Having the option seems really good.
Classic laser.
And like being able to go extremely fast and like not let them defend with all your strength, with all your different intimidates, all your stealth, all your big guys. Like getting that unopposed, getting that extra guaranteed power seems like a new deck type. And I think this being the main key to a totally new deck type gives it a higher rating.
Is a conditional throwing axe on the military challenge worth 2 gold and a card slot? I'm not sure about that. Outside of a warship on a pose deck.
Right, but that's a home, right? Like that's
the home. Like so it's a C card to me. Like, and I think it's a one of C card in this. Like I think it's just sort of like in a warship deck that probably wants to go unopposed, you need warships. This is one that's medium, and so you'd run it. But if you're just building a Greyjoy good stuff, you don't want that medium salsa. You want something a little spicier.
Well, it's also got really, really good synergy with with the new Asha if you were running her with Sea Stone. Because you can stealth past anything that you don't want to win, and then if they don't defend it, that thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like and then you've got Mokuro. I think there's enough here for a couple decks, and I think it's better than you.
Maybe it is. I actually think that the next card pushes unopposed more, but
agreed.
It could be. I think maybe Will and I are looking at a more results oriented thing because you have to win the unopposed challenge to trigger Mater's Bane. While Golden Storm is what gives you the unopposed challenge. So obviously they're a good 1-2 punch together. But I think overall you'd rather have Maiden's Bane than Golden Storm.
Oh, yeah. 100% agree.
Okay. I think you're running both in that deck. So, sure.
I mean, you're definitely running both in that deck. But again, I'm trying to view the cards. So that gets them to the C to me, that you want them in this one deck that has a pretty narrow application. It's out of 3X. What could raise it above that? And I don't think that there is anything to me.
Okay.
While Maiden's Bane is a B to me, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I think Maiden's Bane is much more of an engine for that deck that like keeps things going. I still think even in that narrow deck, Golden Storm has such narrow application on a single challenge. If that could be multiple challenges, I'd get behind it. But as is, it's like a maybe. I hate to go all the way down to D, but I'll go C minus for sure.
I'm at a B.
Two narrows doesn't add up well. Does that kick me over to Maiden's Bane then, I guess?
Sure.
It's another 2-cost unique warship. Reaction, after you win an unopposed challenge, kneel Maiden's Bane to choose and stand an attacking character. Then if that character is a captain, stand Maiden's Bane.
Yeah,
this one,
I like that one better than the previous.
Yeah, it I think hooks on so much more readily. Like if you're able to grab an unopposed challenge, it is almost certainly due to something a character is doing for you. if that's stealth or Balin or Theon's ability or something like that, like, here you go, stand that character, throw them at another challenge so they can do that thing again in a different challenge type. Golden Storm doesn't offer that. And bonus, if you actually get captains going, this is the card Jesse was kind of hinting at earlier, then, hey, you get to stand Maiden's Bane, so maybe you can throw them at three challenges.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're playing, you know, like Rise of the Kraken, where you want those unopposed challenges, if, you know, you make it unopposed for military, then fantastic, and then you can unopposed for power, or however you want to do it, then that's helpful too. I don't know. I like this one infinitely better than previous. I see more uses out of this one.
Okay. I absolutely agree, particularly because I feel like because Greyjoy's challenge-based decks are very card-hungry but draw-poor, so that means that action economy is really important to them, and that this is one of the rare character stands for Greyjoy that just come natively. It's also non-loyal, which is super interesting. Same with the previous card as well. And ooh, Captain, I think, is slightly more spread out. I think there's some Barra Captains. There might be other factions I can't think off the top of my head, but I'm sure there could be in the future. And I think action economy is really important to Greyjoy, and the ability to, what it currently works with, like Euron, two of the Ashas, and maybe a few other characters that they have, like, is good. So you, and because so many Greyjoy decks, and particularly I think a Maiden's Bane deck is still going to run around. Oh, and Victarion, right? The new Victarion's a captain,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, unless they're in this box, there are no other captains outside of Greyjoy. I mean, I guess we get a Barra one here in the box, but there was nothing else. So like
Solid or Sansa on a captain?
Not a lot of options. Assuming the Thrones DB search is working right for me, he did not come up. He's got Smuggler. He's got that stuff going on.
Interesting. Well, that's the most FFG moment of the box review. But
yeah, Mercenary Raider Smuggler.
Anyway, I think Maiden's Bane is a very good card because of that ability to create action economy for you in a way that I think Greyjoy really, really wants. But so I would give this a B card because it definitely goes in the Warship deck, and I can definitely see it actually going in mid-range Greyjoy decks as well that aren't necessarily built around the tight Warship synergies.
I think all great.
I'd give it a little bit more than that. Not too much more. Like, it's not just like OMG, like the next card, but I'd give it an A- because I would definitely use that quite often for sure.
So I think you guys are underselling how often we're going to see this card. Like, I'm not sure why a Greyjoy deck doesn't run one of this, like every Greyjoy deck.
Yeah. No, I would definitely put this in my decks. That's why I wanted to give it an A rating.
An A minus. I think, like, there's some games where it's going to do nothing, but it's a constant threat of activation because you can't really afford to let Euron or Balon or whoever grab that many out of those.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be quite good.
True enough. Who wants to scout?
Me. I don't know who
let's
though.
See. I read Maiden's Bane, so technically I guess it's Roy, but if he wants to let you have that turn, then go
no,
for
Roy
it.
No, Roy can read it.
No, I'll read it. It's a zero cost, non-unique scouting vessel is the name of the card. Non-unique Greyjoy location, warship, interrupt. When a character you control discards a card using pillage, kneel and sacrifice scouting vessel to discard three cards instead. So this card is an attempt to push pillage, and I'm sure there's some really interesting pillage interactions that this is good. But what it is a zero cost, non-unique warship. That's where I think it's going to really, really matter. And as frustrating as some of the interactions that have been pointed out and debated in the Facebook group around Euron, around what's his name, the Mountain, and this. I think that those are all relatively niche. And what really matters is that this is a warship that costs zero that has a slight upside, and that's where you're going to see it. So I would give this card a C plus.
What? It's definitely an A rating to me.
Ooh, Kristen's going hard on us. Tell us more.
Well, I mean, so zero cost. So, I mean, that's the first bonus. The fact that you can put this into other decks, second bonus. And then, especially in a pillage deck, it is really, really awesome because you can discard three cards. So pillage and potentially milling them out.
I mean,
I really like this card.
Well, that is accurate.
I mean, I love zero cost non-limited. It's going to be fantastic for Vic, and I'm just a sucker for stuff that helps me kind of come out of the gates swinging on setup in second edition, which has still kind of been few and far between, though we've been getting a lot better on that lately. So, you know, I'm tempted by that. I think some of the pillage application is probably kind of niche, but I'm still tempted. Greyjoy mid-range, if you're running the Vic direction, I would sure still consider it there.
What do you think, Laser?
I think it's a good setup card for your dedicated warship deck, and it doesn't see point elsewhere. I don't think pillage is a thing, and I hope pillage never really becomes a thing. So, given that being the case, I would be most happy basically never seeing this card. But, yeah, I think it's C+.
I'm the odd duck.
You're allowed to like a card.
Kristen goes high. I'm saying, saying C. Is that sent? Did anybody not rate that?
I think we got it. Glazer, it's Glazer now, right?
Let's see. You just read Scouting Vessel Roy. That sends us to Kristen for the next one.
All right. So we have Red Rain as an attachment. It is cost 2, Valyrian Steel. It's a weapon. It's unique to Greyjoy character only. If attached character is the drum, he gains stealth. Its reaction is after you win an unopposed challenge in which attached character is attacking, it gains 2 power, limit once per phase.
Super strong in an unopposed deck. The super renown on a renown character, so you get 3 power off them, is just really strong, and then has the added bonus of going on drum. So I think that this goes 1 or 2x in an unopposed Greyjoy deck. But other than that, I think, again, 2 cost attack. I mean, obviously, it's going to go in a cohort deck. But I don't know if Greyjoy cohort is there or will ever be there, but it could theoretically go in there. But the 2 to 3 power that you can get off this card per challenge is really strong. So I would give this a C+, simply because it's a 2-cost attachment that has some restrictions, but I would not be surprised if you see this as 1 or 2x in one of the various Greyjoy and opposed decks that we've theory crafted about tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll see those, and I'm tempted to say B- for it. I think it gives some real closing punch to wrap up a game quickly. And I can't believe you didn't mention melee. Like, This is going to be good money in melee.
But it also has the advantage of it goes on the character, right? So if something bad happens to Red Rain from confiscation or various other forms of location control, you still get to keep the power. So that's really nice.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
It's also non-loyal, so that's interesting at least, but it does have to go on Greyjoy characters, so
yeah,
that's a limitation.
It's a weapon. Somebody could be ambushing that. Just saying.
What do you got for us, Glazer?
I think this card is completely freaking nuts. Combined with, like, I think that we just now have an unopposed deck, and I think that this card is kind of why. Like, I don't know. Like, if I was Jesse, I would say this is the nut. Like, I just think this card is extraordinarily good and overpushed. And I don't know what to do with it besides, like, holy crap it. But, like, holy crap, this is good.
Do you think it's A?
I think it's an A.
Oh,
definitely.
Nice.
Like, I think that there's enough unique Greyjoys that just, like, giving them stealth, like, on demand and then gaining two power for an unopposed. Like, I think Greyjoy unopposed.
I mean, it's sure getting there. I think it might even be some fun with the next card. That's what I'm dreaming about.
A white Christmas?
That too, actually. We don't get those too often down here. But I think that next card's you, Aaron.
Wait, oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Elite Captain, one cost attachment, non-unique, title. Attached character gets the captain strength, gets plus one strength, plus three strength instead if you control one or three or more warship locations.
Ah, here's the other one Jesse wanted.
Yeah, I don't think this one's super as amazing. But, hey, Core Balon's still a card, and if you can slap this on Core Balon, a lot of decks are going to have trouble.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got this on Core Balon and you get Longship Maiden's Bane, like, whoo, boy, that Voltroning him up into that situation is pretty much my new dream Shaga deck, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think this card is quite fun. I really like it.
I mean, yeah, it's generally awesome.
I don't know. It's a one-cost attachment that gives plus one strength.
It's for one deck.
Right, for one deck.
Yeah.
But still, like...
It's a Shaga card, I think.
I don't even think it necessarily goes in that warship deck, because that warship deck is thirsty for warships. And I still don't think you keep... This is not a thirst card for that deck. Like, it's not craving it. It's a firmly medium card that I actually think it's a Greyjoy Cohort card. And if we ever see Greyjoy Cohort, then we'll see this card. But
man, maybe if that Cohort deck is how you put together a Maiden's Bane deck, sure. Because I think that's what this is. It's a enabler just for Maiden's Bane.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, like, weird one-cost attachments show up in Cohort decks left and right, so I would not be surprised.
Left and right. No, left and right.
That's true. they show up about frequently. So I would give this, again, I think I'm in the back half of these Greyjoy cards in the firm C camp for this card.
I'm not even sure I'm that high on it. I think it's maybe like a D plus. I'm excited about that theoretical deck, but I don't necessarily have a lot of confidence in it.
Yeah, probably a C minus. But if you can get a couple of these along with, if you can get Balon made a couple of these, it's not unique. If you get Balon up to, like, what would that be, 11 strength?
Depends on how many.
Like, there's not a lot in the game. Yeah, but there's not a lot in the game that is doing anything to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and at that point, you've probably also gotten Great Kraken, so he probably has stealth too.
Yeah. I mean, like, it's just, that's a really good combo.
And yeah.
I think that's probably a deck. I'm not sure how to build it, but I bet you Jesse or John knows how to build it. I don't know. I think it's probably a C. I might go to C+, because upside is cool.
I'm B minus C plus.
Who are we on now, Will?
I think that's me with What Is Dead May Never Die. This is our first Greyjoy event. It's loyal, and it's three cost. It's a Drown God event, and reaction after you win dominance, choose a Greyjoy character in your dead pile and put it into play. Man, I don't know. I feel like this is maybe worth one slot as a backup in that kind of combo-y Drown God build in case you need to rescue a Tarl your opponent's completely removed or a Dampair or something that you can't come up with some other way to get back, but you still have to win dominance. I mean, I guess Naga's Ribs is probably helping there, but like, I don't know. I think most of the rest of the Drown God pieces already enables you to do what this does, and it's really only worthwhile for a backup.
Yeah, I think I'm going to piggyback off that of having a backup card. Like, I really wouldn't want more than one of these in it because the cost is just a little too high for me of what it does. But just past, like, your scenario, I can't talk scenario of that. Like, if they have a Valor, but then you have something where you can win dominance, and so maybe you need that extra, like, you have that extra gold, and I don't know, like... It's so-so. It's cool, but I would not want multiples by any means in my deck of this.
Yeah. I think this card is really strong because it's really not difficult to either win dominance or I think on all levels it is really easy for Greyjoy to pull this off. I think mid-range Greyjoy decks that really need to win dominance can do it. I think Drown God decks that want this effect can do it. It does what they want. It pushes them towards their combo win condition. It is an ability. It's a recovery event after you have to aggressively Valor to get one of the characters you weren't able to save back. It's expensive. It doesn't synergize with the new agenda. But other than that, I think this card is... Aaron quoted Jesse earlier. I will quote him now. It's the nut. Dan Struhal showed, I think, this weekend that we slept a little bit on Unexpected Return. And What Is Dead and Is Never Die has way more explicit synergies with what Greyjoy wants to do than Unexpected Return does with what Targaryen wants to do. And it's cheaper and easier for them to get characters in to their dead pile, with Vince being able to kill the character of your choice if you need attachment control, all kinds of stuff. So I think that this is definitely an A card. I don't think it's an S card because it's a three-cost event, but it's an A card.
Ooh, wow. We're stratifying here some on this one. I think I'm lower on that. I don't know. If I were to really put a number on it, you know what? I'm gonna see what happens if I rate this at a C minus. Good grief, B minus. Don't know where the C came from there.
I mean, the real question is, like, what do you do against a Naga's Ribs deck that has this event? Like, how do you stop them without outrushing them?
I mean, like, if I'm into a Naga's Rib deck, like, is this the card that I desperately, like, need to see to get that and keep that going? Like, is this one of these pieces? Or is it a backup to the more efficient options like... Greygull and Tarl and such.
It's both.
Okay, I see it more as backup, but there we go.
Who's we bringing us home with... There's one more. There's the plot, which we can talk about.
Nighttime Raid.
Nighttime Raid.
Yeah, first. Since you did Nighttime Raid, actually.
Is that me?
Yeah.
It's a one-cost event, Nighttime Raid, non-loyal action. Choose up to 3 characters with pillage and or the raider trait until end of the phase. Each of those characters gain stealth. This is the classic thing. If we ever print Dark Wings, Dark Words again, you will play this card. If they don't,
such a fun deck to play.
You won't. Greyjoy has some really fantastic events. Why would you play this over any of them? And particularly, yeah. So, anyway, maybe if in a Sea of Blood deck, but there's still better events to play in a Sea of Blood deck. So
Raiders? I don't know. I'm going to have to double check how many Raiders we've actually got.
But it's with pillage. Like, I think it's the pillage you're going to most often target.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can definitely catch more targets that way for sure.
So still like a C-D.
I mean, but they don't have to be Greyjoys. They could be, you know, some of Lanny's pillage stuff.
The fact that you can use it with another card.
The Dark Wings, Dark Words card.
Yep. Great minds think alike, Glazer.
What were you starting to say?
I would totally run it.
If it's a draw card, yes. I would definitely run it.
I think Kristen only made it about halfway through a thought. What was that?
Oh, you're fine. I don't know. I like it, but I'm not like stoked about the card. So in the B rating.
Also, I'm just going to throw out there, most of the characters that are raiders seem to already have pillage built in. So I'm not even getting like a cool different cross section, depending on which one I choose. It's mostly the same pool. Lovely.
I mostly just like it for the stealth. And it's a cheap event.
I mean, stealth is a strong keyword, but I think I'd rather my characters just come with it to begin with.
Right. Or if it gained, I don't know, gained strength instead or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's not CM play.
No. It's probably D.
I'm going to go C-. I think it has...
Oh, okay.
I think stealth is good enough, but I'm willing to be mildly higher on it.
All right. Who wants to read the last S card?
I think not that's me. Kristen, if we continue the rotation.
Are we reading the rest,
we're skipping all the way down to the plot.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, we did not warn you of that ahead of time. My bad.
let me... All right, we take Westeros. Plot, loyal, 5 cost, 9, and then 1... war, reserve of 6, and when revealed, choose a location in a discard pile and put it into play under your control. You can only have a limit of 1 of these for your deck. So that's fun, that it's just choose a location in a discard pile. So you can choose your opponent's as well as yours. No, well, not as well, but or yours.
That's the real key, I think. Blow up something good of theirs and take it for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
Razor, just get lucky.
Yeah, all those things. Or they, in Greyjoy mirrors, oh, they blew up my silence. Well, I'll flip into my own. We take Westeros, get my silence back.
Yeah. Definitely. And I mean, I love that with this, you know, you have your 5 gold, but then you also have a really high initiative too. And that's something that has been frustrating to me of finding a good plot that not only has a cool effect, but has those two strong components too. So this one is definitely worth considering in all future Greyjoy decks for me.
I don't know why you wouldn't run this in any Greyjoy deck.
I mean, yeah. Like, what's...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Like, what's probably the baseline, like, weakest play that you can pretty much always ensure, like, that's the floor for this is probably what? Getting your
Iron
own
Mine.
King's Road back, and then you've got an 8-9-1-6 plot, or an Iron Mine.
Iron Mine's the big one, yeah.
That's probably better. But I mean, like, the King's Road is, like, the worst scenario that is possibly that I would still trigger it in. And that's still really good. Iron Mines, I would say, is a step above that and is also still going to be super common. Like, and that's still really good.
And also the...
Like, the lowest possibilities here are still very
the ability
high.
To chuck excess economy that you don't... Like... Against matches that it's never a dead card, because what you can do is against factions like, let's say, like Lannister, that you don't necessarily have amazing broken locations to steal. You can just chuck excess economy for reserve or to intrigue claim and just get it and turn this into a 6, 7, 8 gold, 9 initiative, 1 claim plot. Which is fine. Like, it's like a medium trade routes at that point. Upside.
With way better initiative.
Yeah, with way better initiative and greater upside of your opponent has an Arbor dupe, you steal the Arbor. Like.
Card makes me sad.
Okay. This card definitely punishes Martell hard. It punishes Tyrell pretty hard, and it also punishes Targaryen pretty hard too.
So I think
it's not hard to get a Marine this way.
It's really weird design decision to print both this and Andric right now, because like you just dedicated the last cycle to Shadows, and like the best Shadows decks are built around one key location.
Mm-hmm.
And you're basically just saying no. Like, those are unplayable now. Like, right after you release them, and they're really cool, and they literally got, like, they got 3 weeks of Thrones to be really cool before it's just, like, you can't reliably build around Battles of Casterly Rock anymore. So I hope Lannister enjoyed their 3 weeks of relevance. Because, like, between Sea of Blood making location control horribly easy, and, like, the sheer bullshit luck of just pillaging it away, like you can't run it anymore, and that's like I don't understand this design decision. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think it's a poorly designed plot, but it's a powerful poorly designed plot.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's super pushed. That, like, where's the trade off here? So many other plots have a trade-off item in some regards, right? Where we're making decisions and back and forth. Like, there's nothing here other than the plot slot itself.
No, it's just phenomenally strong. Literally it.
Yeah.
So.
Like. It's an S.
Like S rating?
S.
Oh, yeah. Very S.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those Greyjoy cards were depressing.
There's the first half. Yeah, I was gonna say the first half ends on a weird note for us here. Everyone's like, this box has really been cranked up. Has it been cranked all the way to 11, or is this at least like a
no? We're straight Spinal Tap territory here.
Okay, that seems fair. If I were to, now I'm kind of curious thinking about that, if I were to drop other boxes into similar ratings, I mean, what, Tyrell box probably gets at least a 10.
It's
Stark maybe an 8, and Laney like a 7?
Then Tyrell, then Rickon.
Oh, I would switch the Martell and Tyrell box.
Yeah, because Mace hasn't been around for literally a month. So already forgot.
Yes, I have already forgotten him because he's he's got so much dust. He wasn't out, he wasn't in my binder for like a year, but he's got already got a layer of dust on him, Glazer. So,
Mace wow. is the,
just really picks up a lot of static electricity.
Mace is the trick here.
Well, there you go, listeners. See if the Greyjoy cards leave you in a similar sort of excited but kind of dejected state.
Maybe you could say that it leaves you in the danger zone.
Danger zone? That definitely closes this chapter of the White Book. Props and slops are no props and slops.